Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from The Lancet Neurology. I'm Richard Lane, and this month we're focusing on a review which is published in the August issue of TLN. Let's hear from our author introducing himself.
My name is Paul Hagerman. I'm an MD and a PhD, and I'm a professor on faculty at University of California, Davis School of Medicine in Davis, California. And my areas of interest are in work on neurodegeneration and neurodevelopmental disorders.
Dr. Hagerman, many thanks indeed for talking to The Lancet Neurology. You're one of the authors of a review, and we're going to discuss it now, and it concerns FXTAS and Fragile X syndrome. Let's start off there. Can you just give a clarification as to how we distinguish between these two entities?
Yes, of course. And I want to emphasize that an appreciation of this distinction is very important for clinicians. Both Fragile X-associated tremor ataxia syndrome, or FXTAS, and Fragile X syndrome are caused by mutations in the Fragile X or FMR1 gene. However, FXTAS is a neurodegenerative disorder with late adult onset. Its core features are a progressive intention tremor and a gait ataxia or difficulty balance with walking. Also radiological evidence of reduced brain mass in white matter disease. So it's often associated with progressive cognitive decline to dementia and features of Parkinsonism. So it's a late onset disorder. It does not affect children. By contrast, Fragile X syndrome is a neurodevelopmental disorder that principally involves lowered IQ and behavioral and social problems, often including autism and often autism spectrum disorder. So Fragile X syndrome is really a childhood disorder with extension, but not progression into adulthood. So both disorders are caused by a mutation in the same gene, the Fragile X gene, that involves expansion of a non-coding 3-nucleotide CGG repeat. Whereas normal individuals have around 30 of these CGG repeats, those with FXTAS carry a so-called premutation repeat that's between about 55 and 200 CGG repeats, and those with Fragile X syndrome have more than 200 repeats. So FXTAS and Fragile X syndrome affect different classes of individuals within different age ranges. And a child with Fragile X syndrome is not expected to get FXTAS later in life. So I think it's really important to make this distinction. I think the issue here, though, to sort of underscore this point, is that some physicians have told patients that they can't have what they're having because they don't have Fragile X syndrome, not realizing that these individuals are carriers and they have the other disorder. So I think this is one of the take-home lessons of all of this, is that these are two separate clinical disorders, but caused by the same gene.
So what are the actual pathological processes that lead to neurodegeneration?
Well, I think we have a better understanding with Fragile X syndrome, and it's more emerging with FXTAS. For those with Fragile X syndrome, and with these CGG repeat elements exceeding about 200 repeats, the repeat itself triggers a process of DNA methylation and silencing of the gene. So the gene just shuts down. The resulting absence of the protein product of this gene, protein that's important for development and maintenance of proper synaptic connections in the brain, this absence leads to abnormal synaptic function and impaired learning. So the process of Fragile X syndrome development is due to the absence of the gene product, the protein. However, for the premutation expansion that's causative of FXTAS, the FMR gene is much too active. Paradoxically, producing 2 to 10-fold more messenger RNA than normal. So it's completely the opposite of the underlying pathogenesis of Fragile X syndrome. This excess RNA, which contains the CGD repeat sequence, is thought to be toxic in the sense that it disrupts normal cell functioning. And the leading current idea for this is that the CGD repeat RNA sequesters or sponges up through excessive binding one or more proteins, thus subverting their normal functions. So a similar process to this is well described and is thought to occur in myotonic dystrophy and perhaps other repeat expansion disorders. So again, two very, very separate pathogenic mechanisms.
Thank you very much. So moving on from that, what's the key neurodevelopmental and neuropsychological deficits associated with FXTAS?
Okay, so this is a good teachable moment here. So there are really no neurodevelopmental deficits that are clearly associated with FXTAS.
Right.
We know of only two patients with FXTAS that had neurodevelopmental problems and both developed FXTAS early. But these individuals may have had other genetic issues associated with their early development of FXTAS. However, the pre-mutation, if we broaden this a bit and say FXTAS patients are pre-mutation carriers, if you look more broadly at the pre-mutation, it's associated with developmental issues, including attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, motor coordination problems, and autism spectrum disorder. Also seizures in about 10% of children who are pre-mutation carriers. And so there's clearly involvement among the carrier group early in childhood and throughout adult life that's not neurodegenerative and not FXTAS. But we can't say who will develop FXTAS from among these children who have involvement. So there's clearly a need for longitudinal studies to understand the causal relationships between these early forms of pre-mutation involvement and molecular abnormalities and the later development of FXTAS. We can't say who is going to get it and who isn't. So that's a plug for more studies.
But there are associated features with FXTAS, aren't there? How's our understanding of those improved recently?
Well, it's really evolving with FXTAS, and there are a lot of studies going on now to better understand it. So a couple of things. One is FXTAS has now been observed in smaller alleles. These are so-called gray zone alleles. This is 45 to 54 CGG repeats. And there's evidence for its occurrence in a few individuals with full mutation forms of the gene, that is more than 200 CGG repeats, where the gene inexplicably doesn't methylate in silence. So the range of involvement is broadening. We know that there is broader CNS white matter disease, and a better descriptions are coming out of other areas of involvement, including in the brain, the corpus callosum, pons, and the insula. These are just various areas of the brain seen on MRI, and these areas are correlated with features of the disease. Furthermore, and somewhat of a surprise to all of us, there's clear evidence now for pathology in many non-CNS tissues. So this was initially thought as being a CNS neurodegenerative neurological disorder, but we see pathological features in the heart, kidneys, gut, adrenal glands, pancreas, etc., that are similar to what we were originally seeing in brain, and these indicate that FXTAS is truly a systemic disease.
So where do you see the next breakthroughs in terms of research and treatment for FXTAS?
Well, I think that the way things are progressing now, that new treatments that are increasingly targeted to the disease pathogenesis itself, hopefully, the neurosteroid allopregnanolone, hopefully will be approved soon as an investigational new drug for FXTAS, and some of the medications that are currently in use for Fragile X syndrome, so-called mGluR inhibitors and GABA agonists, these may also be repurposed because at the neurological level, some of the features of FXTAS mirror those of Fragile X syndrome in terms of mechanism, and so some of these same drugs may be used for both, even though they're very different disorders.
What sort of drugs are we talking about there?
There's a class of drugs called mGluR inhibitors, and these are drugs that inhibit a receptor called the metabotropic glutamate receptor. This receptor is important for modulating the activity of the synapse. And in the absence of a Fragile X protein, the FMRP, this doesn't properly downregulate. And so you have this problem with excitotoxicity at these synapses. And so these drugs are now in clinical trials to see if they can sort of perform a workaround. The classes of drugs that are used are basically based on trying to inhibit overactivity and try to stimulate inhibitory activity. The mGluR inhibitors and the GABA agonists, those two classes of drugs basically are trying to serve those functions. And there may be a half a dozen or so of those that are in clinical trials now for Fragile X syndrome, not for FXTAS. And what we hope is that we'll be able to use some of these drugs and start trials more directly with FXTAS. But further down the line, we hope to use the knowledge gained from these ongoing molecular studies for FXTAS to more precisely target the core pathogenic mechanisms that underlie this neurodegenerative disorder. And to be sure, climbing up on my soapbox, all of this requires more longitudinal studies so we can say who is going to develop FXTAS before it occurs. And it involves treatment studies, treatment trials. And this takes a commitment to fund from both the government and the private interests. So that's always boils down to that.
Well, it's a fascinating topic, a new one to me. So thank you for educating me and hopefully our listeners as well. But delight to talk to you. That's Dr. Paul Hageman on the line from University of California, Davis. Many thanks indeed for talking to The Lancet Neurology.
My pleasure.
Many thanks again to Paul Hageman. And to you all for listening. See you next time.